Mr. Crane, what do you have to say to the Yankees and teams that you beat in 17?
Listen, the Yankees have had a few comments out there. You know, our opinion is, you know, that this didn't impact the game. We had a good team. We won the World Series, and we'll leave it at that.
Look, I mean, I think that's quite a stretch.
Did you say you feel like this didn't impact the game? And what do you mean by that?
I didn't say it didn't impact the game. Basically, you know, as the commissioner said in his report, he's not going to go backwards. It's hard to determine how it impacted the game, if it impacted the game, and that's where we're going to leave it.
He's a liar.
I thought the apologies were whatever. I thought Jim Crane's was weak. I thought Manfred's punishment was weak, giving him immunity. I mean, these guys were cheating for 3 years.
Okay, guys, we're going to wrap up. Thank you, Dusty. Thank you, Jim.
Houston, we have a problem.
Well, there is a problem in Houston. We'll see how that plays out. Meanwhile, the Red Sox will find out what their punishment, if any, is. That will come next week. And after spending most of the morning talking about baseball and laterally basketball, what we do in the 11 o'clock hour, and we've been doing this for the last several weeks, is check in with longtime football writer from the Boston Herald, Karen Garigian, and number one contributor to the Mustard and Johnson show, to find out where Tom Brady is going this week. Karen, do you have an answer for us?
Well, he's going a lot of places, if you believe what you read, or teams are really lining up the offers.
Well,
you know?
I'm reading this. It says the clock keeps ticking. The countdown keeps rolling. It's T-minus, this was a few days ago, 34 days until the legal tampering period of free agent agency begins, and ultimately T-minus 36 days then until Tom Brady officially becomes a free agent on March 18th. That was written by you. And, you know, every week we check in, every day we check in, people are very hungry for some scraps, anything to satiate us on this Tom Brady front. What do you got for us?
Well, as I averred in that particular...
averred, I like that word.
Averred.
Yes.
I know you're a teacher, Craig, so I'm up on my vocabulary.
Well,
so.
that word is in one of my favorite movie songs of all time. As coroner, I must aver, I really have examined her, and she is not only merely dead, she is most sincerely dead.
Dead, yes. That was nice.
Wasn't that good?
It was.
So will the coroner be pronouncing Tom Brady's... Patriot career dead on March 18th? That's what I want to know.
Well, a lot of things are going to happen between now and then. First off, getting back to what I wrote, while Brady has had some contact with the Patriots, it hasn't been with Bill Belichick. So Belichick has yet to reach out. This is as of early last week.
Well, who has Tom been in touch with then?
Well, there's other people. Hello, Robert. Hello, Robert Kraft. Heard of him?
Yes, I have. He has been in touch with him.
But according to Robert, Bill is the decision maker, and this is between Bill and Tom. And so thus far, Belichick is keeping it close to the vest.
No, are you kidding me? You can't be serious about that. Bill Belichick is keeping it close to the vest. He's not giving out information. He's not being his usual transparent, expansive, effusive self.
Even with his six-time winning quarterback.
Wow,
How's that?
The last time I saw him, he was on national television on Super Bowl Sunday, flashing his rings with a big grin on his face. I mean, I thought, was that the same Bill Belichick that we've been seeing for the last 20 years and all those wonderful news conferences over in Foxborough? Wow.
Yeah, so yeah, it's interesting is that Brady and him were on the field at the same time, and there was zero. Or like, gee, Tom, let's get together next week and start chatting, you know?
Let me ask you this. Do you really believe that Bob Kraft has abdicated all final decisions to Bill Belichick.
Yes.
You really
but
believe
always,
that?
There's always an asterisk. I mean, he's the owner, so if something goes completely wayward or he can't stomach the PR fallout, perhaps he'll step in. But what I will say, and Belichick sort of doesn't have to do anything until kind of getting a feel, or Brady's agent gets a feel for the market and what's out there. And with the start of the scouting combine on February 25th, the NFL will be there, the agents will be there, and wink, wink, you'll have a little bit of discussion. I think Don Yee will be able to get a little bit of a feeler as to what's real and what isn't in terms of team's interest. And then he can bring that back to the Patriots. And this will all come before the legal tampering and Brady becoming a free agent on March 18th.
Hmm. Now, you'll be at the scouting combine, correct?
I will be there, yes. Trying to find out who's talking to who and what those numbers might be. Yes.
Well, we seem to have a number was thrown out in the last couple of days. Vegas and Mark Davis 60 offering
$60 million.
And that's all guaranteed, correct?
It wasn't presented as that, but you would have to figure it. That's what it would be.
Right. And but didn't we hear a report, at least within the last couple weeks, out of Foxborough? I can't remember where that emanated from. I mean, maybe from Fox. I don't know what reporter had it, but they were more than willing. I think it was Rappaport. Patriots were willing to go to $30 million.
Hmm.
Was that just a one-year deal?
I don't know. But what I do know is that the person who would be making that offer or talking about that offer, it hasn't happened.
Right.
So,
well, the other problem,
so somebody's leaking something. I mean, it's all posturing. It's PR spin for a certain owner, getting it out there that, hey, look, we're going to offer him all this big money. So if you go somewhere else, don't blame us.
Well, the other problem that they have is that, you know, everybody at the Patriots, they got about 10 players that have their hand out. They're going to be free agents, and a lot of people on the defensive side of the ball, and you simply can't pay everybody.
And they don't have the space. They don't have the room to do it either.
You mean cap?
Especially if Brady wants better personnel around him. So, again, they can't just invent. They can move contracts around and decide not to sign certain people, but right now their cap space is around $40 million.
Mm. And what is it going up to? About 200 next year? Something like that.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. About $40 million. And so what happens to Devin McCourty or Kyle Van Noy and those guys?
Jamie Collins or Joe Tooney.
Right.
I mean, the list, they have a pretty A-list number of free agents this year. So, so again, it's a juggling act. I almost think Bill Belichick has to have a plan A for keeping Brady and one for not having Brady.
Well, I'm sure he does, but I'm sure he's going to leave that all to Nick Caserio, who just got a five-year extension with the Patriots. That's kind of an odd thing. Last year, he couldn't wait to get out. He wanted to go to Houston. Patriots blocked him. Now, they've made up, and everything is hunky-dory.
Hunky-dory.
Over there? Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah. Well, the issues of last year were not made up. Caserio did have was not happy about being blocked, and it's like blocked for the second time. I think he thought the Texans job, GM job, was viable for him or a good place for him to go, given his, you know, knowing Bill O'Brien and the personnel there. And the Patriots weren't having it. So, but looking at the opportunities that presented itself this year, in terms of a fit for him, nothing was really there, you know, and Bill O'Brien's now the GM too of in Houston, along with Jack Easterby. So again, looking at the landscape, perhaps there were other things promised to him, along with a nice raise that, you know, maybe down the road when Coach GM Belichick leaves, he's the guy.
Yeah, but how much actual power and what is his role as far as how he works with Belichick? I would assume that Belichick obviously has all the final say and he's the ultimate arbiter. But where does Caserio fit in this scheme?
Well, he's Belichick's right-hand guy. I mean, but again, as you point out, does he have that much clout or say? I don't think anyone does with Belichick. But he does so many things. I mean, he's not only the personnel, both overseeing the college and pros, but he's an important guy on game day. He's an important guy during the week for practices. He's involved and he's another quarterback out there. But on game days, he's in the coach's booth and he's in Josh McDaniel's ear, basically telling him what he sees.
Really? Okay. Didn't realize he was that instrumental. Okay.
Yeah. So again, I think Nick likes the aspects of his job that just aren't personnel related. I think he likes the role. Being a former football player himself at John Carroll, he likes the engagement and involvement in taking part in practices and the role he has on game day. Could he conceivably work that kind of a role with another team? You know, so maybe in Houston he could have, because he knows Bill O'Brien. But again, other places he would just be GM, period.
You know, there's a lot of work they're going to have to do during the off season, just with free agency and a lot of players coming and going. But how are they going to replace Dante Scannecchia?
Well, I think that's significant. I think that's huge. Because Dante was the master at doing more with less. And he was so good with young offensive linemen coming up and teaching them. And he would just drill home techniques. And he made a lot of average to below average linemen much better. You know, I don't know if any replacement is going to do that right away. Or, again, he was so good at making up for whatever the weak part of the line was or evolving things so that Brady wasn't getting killed.
And that is going to be such a big difference next year should Brady stay. And that's what it comes down to. And we talk about this each and every week. And this is the part that still baffles me. How they're going to present a case to Brady between now and March 18th, if they can, and promise him that we're going to bring in an offensive line coach. We're going to shore up the offensive line. We're going to make that wide receiving core more versatile and talented. We're going to give you a tight end. How can they make all these promises and expect Tom Brady to accept them in good faith if it's all speculation?
Well, he's had good faith in the previous years. with them saying that, and it hasn't quite manifested itself. So he is a little skeptical on that front, yes.
Yeah.
Are the wide receivers as bad as they looked at times last year, or they just need more reps?
Well, it's hard to know if someone's ever going to get or get on the same page or know where they're supposed to go. But there was a lot of that going on last year with, you know, the young guys not being in the right place, running the wrong routes, stopping routes. And it even happened with Mohamed Sanu. Is it, you know, a matter of having more time in the system? Or might they never get it? I mean, that's hard to decipher.
And did they look that bad from your vantage point?
Well, so there were some very obvious instances at critical points in games where you could even see Tom signaling, go down the field, go down the field, and people are stopping. Mm. You know? So, yeah, I mean, it was pretty obvious.
But is it obvious to the point where Brady just cannot take it anymore, that he's had it with this pattern of guys that just don't fit into the system, that he cannot work with, and he's just thrown up his hands, and he's, I don't care what I've done for this organization and what Kraft has done and all the great things I've had here, it's time to move on. Is he at that point?
I don't think so. Well, I think it's going to depend on what's out there. If there's a better situation, and again, you have to take so many things into account for what a better quote unquote situation is. Is a better situation having to learn an entire new offense, which he probably doesn't want to do at age 43? Is a better situation going into the AFC West and having to play Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs twice a year to try and get out of that division?
That's a really good point, Karen, that you bring that up. And I was thinking about that. Everybody has him going off to the LA Chargers. That would be a fascinating scenario with Mahomes and Brady playing each other for maybe four times in the next couple of years. But would that be to Tom Brady's liking? Would he want that kind of challenge? And knowing he probably can't win the division if he goes to the Chargers?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, or the Raiders.
Right. Same division,
so,
right. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
So is that, you know, also, I mean, when you're talking about Miami or somebody in the AFC or AFC East, that means having to play the Patriots a couple times.
Mm.
So, I mean, those, you think Tom Brady wants to have to go toe-to-toe with Bill Belichick? You know, a couple times a year?
No, definitely not.
So again, those are all part of the equation. Everyone's talking about the Giants now, because, you know, Scott Zolak put that out there. But, you know, you can, like, shoot bullet holes in just about everything.
Well, I mean, you think about it. The Vegas report, the $60 million probably guaranteed. Michael Irvin, of course, he's going to go to the Cowboys. Colin Cowherd says he's going to the Titans. You just had a report with Zoe having him go to
Giants.
The Giants. And on it goes. And this is probably not going to stop until a decision is made somewhere around March 18th.
Right. Or watch a mystery team develop.
Is there a mystery team out there?
Oh, I would put the Vikings in that mix.
Wow.
But like you said, you have to learn a whole new playbook. You play Green Bay twice a year. It's no matter where you go.
But wait a minute. Let's go back to the Vikings for a second. What is the status of Kirk's contract out in Minnesota?
Getting paid a lot.
Right. That's a pretty big, that's a hefty contract out there.
What if they move him?
Yeah, they could move him, I guess. I don't know what the guarantees are going forward.
So what do you do?
Well,
go ahead.
I'll throw this. And I have to credit Chris Gasper for this of the Globe. But he threw out this scenario. Vikings sign Brady.
Yeah.
Okay. Vikings ship Kirk Cousins.
Right.
To the Patriots.
San Francisco.
Oh, okay. Uh-oh.
Because their coach loved.
That's
their
right.
Coach.
Yep.
Their coach really wanted Kirk Cousins before the Jimmy Garoppolo trade.
Yeah.
And then San Francisco deals Mr. Garoppolo back here.
And
that's kind of a cute one.
Yeah, and I think that the head coach would like that a lot over in Foxborough.
Yes.
I think
it's win-win-win.
Yeah. So Brady could play indoors for the last couple of years of his career with a pretty good team. He's got a lot of good weapons there.
Yeah. Although I somehow don't picture Giselle in Minnesota, but that's another part of the equation.
have you lost a lot of respect for Garoppolo after the Super Bowl?
I wouldn't put it that drastically, but I think you got a sense of, is he an elite quarterback or just a good quarterback? And he's still a good quarterback, whether he didn't deliver on that final drive or not. I don't think you can completely bury him because, how long has he really played? But again, what he showed right now is he's just a good quarterback. There's a lot of just good quarterbacks in the league.
You know, I would say up until about the 8-minute mark of the fourth quarter in that game, he looked like Tom Brady in his first Super Bowl. He was managing the team. They had a lead. They were holding on to the lead. And unlike the Patriots, who did give up two late touchdowns in Brady's first Super Bowl, Brady got the chance and made good on it. Garoppolo did not. There's the difference.
There's where the line separates from elite and great to good.
Yep.
So do you start every week off making a list of phone calls to see if there's anything going on?
Of course.
She's a reporter, Larry. That's what she does. It's in her bones.
Yeah. And right now you're and getting...
And the good news is when I'm in Indianapolis, I won't have to pick up the phone. I'll just sort of, hang out where the people are, Well, the important people.
Can we call you out there?
Yeah, of course you can.
Well, I don't know what your schedule's going to be out there.
Well, if it works, Larry. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
Well, you just put Belichick on hold because you're talking to us.
Well, he'll love that. and the chances of Belichick talking are like slim and none. So
the garrulous Bill Belichick that we saw on the NFL 100 and at the Super Bowl will be put tucked away for the next couple of weeks over at the Indianapolis Combine, no doubt about it, right?
Well, he'll be there. Yeah. I'll see him walking from place to place.
Yeah.
But as I said, it's like this wink, wink. Yes, they have a legal tampering period, but there's also the not so legal tampering period, and it still exists.
Right.
And it will exist in Indianapolis when everyone is there.
When will you be going out there?
A week.
Oh, wow.
I'll be leaving Sunday, I think, next week.
Next Sunday.
We'll definitely tap into whatever you can glean from that. Karen, as always, we appreciate the time. Have a great weekend, and see you down the line.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Have a great week.
All right. Karen Garigian, our number one contributor and Patriot reporter right here on Sports Radio 850 AM WEEI.
Hey, Doc, you better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Time is a flat circle. And here.
Well, it's time to get into our Radio DeLorean. It's Back to the Future we go. This is week two. Joe Cortez, our intrepid producer, will you explain this little feature that we instituted last week for our audience who's dying to know exactly what we're doing here?
All right, so we're doing a day in today's history. It's on this day what's happened in the past, hundreds of years. We're going to stick with some sports, though. it'll be a lot easier.
Well, last week you had the Boy Scouts in there and a couple of other esoteric.
Had a president in there.
Oh, we had Warren G. Harding. He had a radio in the White House.
Well, I mean, that adds to it, radio.
Yeah. No, I think so. And so what we're going to do is, I guess, not only identify some of these dates in history, we should discuss them a little bit, too, as I believe. So,
all right, so let's sit with the first one's pretty easy.
All right.
So as of yesterday, this coach in the NFL, after first being assured that he was going to be the new coach of the new team that became the Baltimore Ravens, this coach was fired on February 14th, 1996, a week after his announcement.
I'll let Larry answer that one. I know who it is.
Wasn't Rex Ryan?
No. 1996. Remember who the original Ravens were. They were the Cleveland Browns. So this team thought, this coach thought, Larry, he was following the Browns after the 95 season, they're moving to the Ravens, and he was not hired as the new head coach of the Baltimore Ravens. And I think he ended up somewhere else. Would it be Bill Belichick? Yes, I believe it was. And you think about that.
Remember his first draft pick was this. Well, Tommy Vardell was
touchdown Tommy Vardell with a number 10 pick in the 90 draft. How'd that work out for him? Actually,
he also picked a lineman 1 year, second year maybe. Didn't turn out to be that
hot. I will say this in defense of Belichick. We spent a lot of time deconstructing Belichick and sometimes knocking him off his pedestal. But he did not have the best of luck in Cleveland. And remember, they had a playoff team in 94, the year that Bledsoe and Parcells combined and won their last seven in a row. Where did they play? They played in Cleveland.
Yeah. Was Testaverde in that game?
Yeah, Testaverde was in the game. He was fantastic. Belichick's defense picked off Bledsoe, I think, four times in that game. So they the next week they got beat by Pittsburgh, who went on to the, I think with that year, then they lost to San Diego. But anyway, the Cleveland Browns won a game in the playoffs in 94. The next year, Art Modell announced that the Cleveland Browns, and this was, Joe, you were just a baby when that came out.
Oh, yeah.
But you think there was outrage? This is one of the great franchises in the history of the NFL. They're leaving those loyal, rabid fans in the dog pound behind.
And they did it in the middle of the night.
No, that was Indianapolis who did that. No, Modell was very straightforward about it, and they knew at the beginning of the season. So Belichick's last year, his fifth year in Cleveland, he was basically a lame duck. And the team, which went to the playoffs and beat the Patriots the year before, just fell completely apart. And as soon as they get into Baltimore, that team went to a Super Bowl in 2001. Belichick left behind. It all worked out. But imagine how history would have been different if he did follow the Browns to Baltimore and became the Ravens head coach. That's a good one, Joe. Very good. What's the next one?
All right. So this happened. So you're going to be deciding between the four major sports. Okay. All right. This lockout happened with concern over revenue sharing, salary arbitration, and salary cap. It lasted about 32 days in 1990, and it started on this day.
Was it football?
Nope.
No.
On this day in 1990?
In 1990. Lasted 32 days.
Okay, well, you have a 25% chance. There are four team sports.
So probably, really, you guys are down to like one more guess.
It's probably baseball.
Yep, you are correct.
All right, Larry Johnson, very good. And I don't seem to remember that because it was resolved before the regular season began.
And then 4 years later, there was the 94 strike?
Yeah, 94 strike. I remember that well. You know why I remember that one well? That was the last day I was ever on the air as a full-time radio host on WEEI, August 12th, 1994.
Oh, wait a minute. Give us time to write that down.
I'll write this down. The owners shut down Major League Baseball. Was it a strike or a lockdown? That was a lockdown, wasn't it?
In the 94? 90s, it was a lockdown.
Lockdown. The owners shut down Major League Baseball, and the owner of WEEI shut the door on me. And I never went back through those doors as a full-time WEEI talk show host again. So I always remember that season.
It wasn't Ordway, was it?
He had nothing to do with it. It was new ownership came in. My contract ran out the same time as new owners came in, and that was the end of me as a full-time guy.
But was it between you and Dale?
Yes, it was. Yeah. Dale had a 2-year contract, and I only had a 1-year deal, and that was it for me. So you would have been very upset, Joe, because I know you're a Yankee fan. Because in 94, the Yankees, after several years of ineptitude, with Buck Showalter as the manager, they had the best record of the American League when they shut it down on August 12, 1994.
Yeah, and that was the year I was born.
That was the year you were born.
Wow.
And, I know.
And the team that had the best record in baseball that year were the Montreal Expos.
Were they using signs?
I don't know, but Felipe Alou was the manager. And
Pedro then?
Yep. Yankees obviously survived the aborted season because they went on to win, three in the 90s and one in 2000. So a lot of championships around the corner. But the Expos ended up, of course, in Washington as the Nationals. Next one, Joe.
All right. We're going to switch sports a little bit. Okay. In 2000, this goaltender in NHL history was given credit for the first ever game-winning goal as a goaltender.
Oh, shoot.
I think that was Patrick Roy.
Nope.
Nope. Who was it?
I'll give you another hint.
Okay.
He played for the New Jersey Devils his entire career and finished with the Blues.
Yeah, okay. What's his name? Yeah, great goaltender. Dominic Hasek. No, that's
Martin
that's
Brodeur.
Buffalo. That's Buffalo. Brodeur, right. Brodeur, he won like 3 championships, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably one of the greatest goaltenders
So
he had a goal?
He had a game-winning
goal. He was the first NHL goalie in history to get credit for the game-winning goal in a victory over the Philadelphia Flyers.
And you think about how many game-winning saves he had, and I think he had at least 3 championships with the Devils.
Who was the greatest goalie of all time? Did Dryden?
I think you could make a case.
Dryden up there?
Well, Dryden won so many championships with Montreal, and if you remember, Dryden came off the campus of some obscure Ivy League college in Ithaca, New York.
Some Cornell.
Named some rinky-dink Mickey Mouse college named Cornell. And he came into the playoffs. He won a championship. He won an NCAA championship with Cornell. He shut down the Bruins, the big bad Bruins, and it set all kinds of scoring records. That was the year that Espo had 76 goals and 76 assists. Shut them down in the second round. They went on to win a Stanley Cup that year.
He was just so big.
He was so big.
Couldn't get around him.
He was a stand-up goalie. Remember they used to say a stand-up goalie. But I think Brodeur might even be better than Ken Dryden. And one of the great goaltenders. I don't remember that happening in 2000, but a pretty special netminder, to say the least.
Yeah. Yep.
And you got one more? Joseph?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Hold on. In honor of the Daytona 500 this week.
Oh, God.
And I am a huge – I had to bring the sounds, of course. All right. So we have – in 1998, this driver had a 59-race winless streak, and he ended up winning the Daytona 500 for the first time ever. So, who was the winner in the 1998 Daytona 500?
Oh, my God. That is obscure. I'm just going to name a – it's got to be a famous name, right?
Yeah, and I'll give you
– Andretti?
Nope. He didn't do – he wasn't a Daytona guy. He was an Indy guy. I'm going to say Dale Earnhardt.
Yes, and the crazy thing about this was –
good news was he died.
Do you remember that?
Pete Sheppard,
good news from Daytona. Dale Earnhardt is dead.
Oh, that was insane. So then 6 years later, the 46th running of the Daytona 500, his son, Dale Earnhardt Jr., on the exact date, 6 days later, won his first ever Daytona 500.
Wow. It's hard to believe that.
Man, you did some digging.
When did Earnhardt die? He died maybe about 5 or 6 years after that.
I believe it was... I think it was 2000.
Okay, so only 2 years later. Hard to believe a superstar in stock car racing or Daytona racing like Earnhardt did not win a Daytona till 2 years before his death.
It was 2001.
2003, 3 years before. Unbelievable. So you're one of those guys, one of those gearheads, Joe?
Oh, I love NASCAR. Well, my grandfather's in the Hall of Fame in a couple different of them around here. He used to race all the old stock cars.
Wait a minute. Your grandfather.
His name, George Summers.
Okay, is he the same guy that was the umpire?
No, his father, Bill Summers, was the umpire.
Right, you have quite a lineage going.
Big lineage on that side of the family. Big baseball and NASCAR family.
So you have a grandfather who was a baseball umpire?
Oh,
no, your great-grandfather.
Yep, great-grandfather.
Great-grandfather was a Major League Baseball umpire who probably umpired at Fenway Park. Obviously, he did.
Oh, absolutely. There's actually a famous picture of Ted Williams in the All-Star game. He's the umpire behind home plate.
Wow. Do you have the picture?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah. I got a bunch of them.
Bring it in for corroboration. I will not believe until I see it. And so his son was a stock car racing Hall of Famer?
Yep, he races modifieds all around. His name is George Summers.
All right, so when is Daytona? Is it this weekend?
Yes.
Okay, what do you actually look for? Have you ever tried to watch a car race, Larry? What do you actually look for? How do you know who's ahead? I can't figure it out. They're all just going around in circles.
So the way I look at it is the same way I look at baseball. In order to follow NASCAR, you actually have to go there and enjoy the people around and see, because nobody, you know, everyone watching it on TV, you can't pay attention to really what's going on in the commentary. Mm-hmm. If you actually go there, it's a lot easier to follow, and there's way more to it than driving just around a circle. There's a lot of aspects to it.
I look for cars to flip over the railing.
See, that's what kind of person you
everybody
are.
Wants the big crash. Yep.
Waiting for more Dale Earnhardts to happen.
Just go watch the Talladega. Go watch Talladega. There's always the big one.
No, not in my direction.
But actually, Dale Earnhardt aside, and that was a tragic case, but isn't it much safer than it used to be? I mean,
a thing by the name of the Car of Tomorrow, and it was totally revamped by a man by the name of Brett Bodine. Right. Brett actually also revamped the bobsleds for the Olympics 1 year, and when he did that, NASCAR took all of his they ended up like changing all the fastened seat belts and putting a cage around him so it was more safer, because you know you're driving a car at excess of 200 miles an hour. Either way, it doesn't look like it's going to end well if you crash.
Come on, all they do is just turn left. How difficult could that
well,
be?
Well, yeah, turn left and then you have 200 and that little touch and then they just go.
Oh. You couldn't put me in one of those cars if you paid me.
Did you see that movie about the Ford versus Ferrari?
No, it's on my list, actually.
Yeah, I want to see that as well. But wow. So, Dale, so the answers for today's – what's the name of this feature again, Joe? You're the one who created it.
Yeah, I know. We got to think of the exact name. It's Today in History.
So, in review, baseball went on strike. Bill Belichick was promised the Ravens job, didn't get it. Dale Earnhardt, unfortunately, or fortunately, if you're Pete Shepard, died. But 3 years before, he did win his first Daytona. And what was the other one?
Baseball.
And Martin Brodeur. Brodeur.
Very good. That was fun.
Did you get the
fun.
Baseball going on strike?
It was you.
Yeah, but yep, did you list it?
I did. We just mentioned it. Yeah.
Okay, good.
But since I didn't get it, it really wasn't that important. I only talk about the ones I get. I only got 2 out of 4 this time. Anyway, that was fun, and we appreciate that. Why don't we take one more call before we have to say goodbye? Don't forget, tomorrow we'll be over on the FM side as we were last week. That's 93.7 FM. And we're going to be on from 1 to 4. So we hope you will join us then. Meanwhile, before we say goodbye, let's check in with Mark in Rockport.
Hey, Mark.
What's going on, Mark?
Guys, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. Two quick things. I know you're short on time. One, a crazy prediction, and then something about your app. I think Brady's coming back, and I think they're going to be able to talk Gronk into coming back one more year, and I think they're going to try to sign Amendola.
Wow, that would be fascinating. Boy. But, you know, how many speculations and predictions and prognostications are out there? You just talk to somebody, they're going to give you a different scenario. What is the source of this scenario, Mark? Do you have some hard information, or is this just speculation?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I've been, you know, a fan my entire life, 40 years, and I'm just watching the tea leaves, and I think that's what's going to happen. Can I tell you one quick update about your app that might be helpful?
Yes, please do.
Okay, so just on your trendings, it always cuts off maybe the last 10 or 15 seconds, which if you're not a hockey fan, you get to miss the Bruins update, so it works fine for me, but I thought you'd like to know.
Well, you know what? I'll make sure we get that hockey update early.
Right.
I wouldn't want to upset the hockey fans. We're probably listening to the show on the other station anyway, so it really doesn't matter. So I didn't realize that technical problem existed. I wonder why that is. Joe, you'll have to work on that for us.
Hey, back to your football for a minute. So what were they, two slot receivers?
No, you know, Gronk playing at the I see what you mean. Yeah. I just think that Amendola is the kind of guy at this point where he could help you in a couple of ways, you know, as a punt returner and whatnot, but he certainly would fill in the slot. And yeah, I mean, you could potentially have two slot receivers. I know Brady favors that.
Well, we will throw that in the hamper and see what happens, because there's all kinds of other scenarios. Thanks for the call, Mark.
Thanks, guys.
That would be interesting if they could get Gronk back for one more season or two.
Yeah, well, I'm sure if Gronk decided to come back, Brady's eagerness to return to Foxborough would be greatly enhanced. Thanks to Joe on the other side of the glass. See
Joe,
you next
nice
week
job,
and see you
babe.
Tomorrow at 1 on FM. Bye.
I like so much in your team. I was amazing.